CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, my colleague. She is an executive vice president at Stevens Incorporated, and she's a former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Europe, our trade partners many decades. Europe, democracies functioning in concert. The EU, NATO, and other arrangements to trade, to employment. However, right now, Europe, which is a very strong ally of the United States, I don't know where our economy would be without it, is in genuine trouble. I go through four major capitals. Rome lacks a prime minister. Mario Draghi was driven from office by right-of-center maneuvering in the Italian parliament. We don't know. There's an election at the end of September. Don't expect Mario Draghi's like to arise. This is a new generation in Rome. In France, Emmanuel Macron has fallen oddly silent given his activities early in the war in Ukraine. Driving all of this, of course, is that France, too, has a power problem, as does Italy, not only because of Russia, but also because the French nuclear power plants, they have many of them. A sizable number of them are offline because of poor maintenance. In Germany, Chancellor Scholz is under pressure from his Greens. He's continuing or looking to continue the nuclear power plants that are left online. They're using coal-fired electricity, but they're out of energy. Nord Stream 1 is either cut back severely or cut off entirely. They can't count on it. And it's getting to a point where they're turning down the lights in Berlin. And in London, Mary was in London during the crisis over the former prime minister. There is no prime minister right now, but the people of the United Kingdom are told to expect very heavy electricity bills starting January. I've seen the number £500 per consumer. Mary, Europe's in trouble and it needs the United States. Do we have what it needs?
Well, really, these problems are of Europe's making. They're not of our making. You mentioned Germany. I was reading the Euro Intelligence newsletter this morning that was looking at German retail sales that are down at the biggest annual rate in 28 years by 8.8%. Germans are battening down the hatches. They're not buying durable goods like furniture or refrigerators or the like because German citizens can see the pain that's coming. And they're being encouraged to ration their use of oil and gas. And they're trying to build LNG ports to import from other suppliers and diversify their energy supplies. They've said, oh, oops, we won't shut down coal plants. And in the meantime, there was a fantastic piece in the Wall Street Journal. I'd commend it to everybody, How the German Economy Broke Down. That was the title, out on July 28th, that talked about Germany's export dependence. And so now that not one, not two, but three major economies are all slowing at the same time, namely the U.S., the Eurozone, and Communist China, Germany has a problem if people aren't buying their goods. So, you know, the leadership in Berlin is scrambling, really not able to strategize or plan. They simply are just dealing with this crisis, particularly the energy crisis. And German consumers and German citizens, particularly the poorest in society, are the ones who will suffer from the rising energy prices and from the ensuing inflation that's going to make everything more expensive for them to buy. Everyday goods like food, gas, it's really a terrible situation, and it's something that they did to themselves.
And the road ahead, Mary, doesn't have an answer until and if there is a resolution of the Ukraine crisis. Do you see separate peace in Europe, quite separate from the Biden administration's ambition to continue to support President Zelensky? Could we see individual states departing from the NATO agreements of late June?
I think the future of the war in Ukraine, as of right now, is dependent on Vladimir Putin and what he's doing, because he's the one who has deterred the West from giving Ukraine the weapons that they need to win. And you can't underestimate, too, the Ukrainians' willingness to fight. Zelensky's been very clear. He sees a settlement as unacceptable because he sees it as a pause during which Putin would simply rearm and regroup and then try again. So I think it's less about what we do and, well, it would be more about what we did if we actually wanted Ukraine to win. And unfortunately, our actions don't suggest that we do.
Let's connect the two dots. We have Taiwan being threatened again by Beijing, a visit by a dignitary from the United States being the debating point, but right now it's a threat. At the same time, we have Russia redoubling its artillery against the Ukrainian positions. In our final minute here, Mary, do you believe that Beijing and Moscow are working together? Are these actions that of someone with a plan to overwhelm the United States?
Yes, they announced a strategic partnership earlier this year and then released the text to the public. Everybody can go read it. It's a no-limits partnership. There's clearly cooperation there. And that should be something that concerns us all. And I think, as again, I think I've said on this program, I think we make a mistake when we think about nations in isolation. That's not how the real world works. Bad guys talk to each other. They trade with each other. They trade intelligence. They trade goods. They trade services. They buy and sell military equipment to one another. This is a problem. And I think the aggression that you're seeing is in large part, a response to the erosion of U.S. deterrence. And these leaders see an opportunity to expand their geographical reach and their power and more money for their corrupt families and cronies. And until we beat them back, this is going to continue.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.